views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Amen. And today, on this beautiful Seattle sunny day, you know, today I just saw a Facebook post that someone wrote. They're talking about how much, you know, we always talk about how much it rains in Seattle, and that keeps people away from moving here. It's not working anymore because we're having such beautiful weather, the spring and the summers, the past few summers. So they're saying, what should we do? What are we going to write about to keep people from moving here? Well, I'm not sure if there's much we can do. It's a beautiful place. Talking about the weather, we're going to talk today about how nature is our teacher and how we can connect to the earth and listen to the deep wisdom she has to offer. My guest is Lynn Roberts. She's an acclaimed teacher of healing and shamanism, a modern-day mystic and a spiritual ecologist. I can't talk. She facilitates sacred journeys to work with indigenous people throughout the world and also teaches at Omega Institute on the East Coast and Esalen down in Big Sur. She's the author of several books, Shamanic Reiki, that was co-authored with Robert Levy, The Good Remembering, and Shapeshifting into Higher Consciousness. She is just out with her latest book that she co-authored with Sandra Ingerman, Speaking with Nature, Awakening to the Deep Wisdom of the Earth. And she is lucky to live near the whole rainforest in Washington over in the Olympic Peninsula. And you can check out her website at lynroberts.com, and that's two L's, L-L-Y-N, roberts.com. I actually want to start the show with a quote from the book. It's actually from Sandra Ingerman, but it just appealed to me because I'm all about leadership and community building. And Sandra says, we often look to leaders to change the world for us. We want someone out there to make life better for us and cure the problems we face in the environment and in the challenges we face politically and economically. But in truth, it is the power of community that is vital to creating needed changes. Now, that was in the chapter about slugs and earthworms. So it was interesting to learn the importance of slugs, something we don't like in our gardens in Seattle. I'm constantly battling my plants being eaten by the slugs and the snails, but I also hate to see them squashed on the sidewalks. So it's kind of a dilemma. Anyway, let's welcome Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Chris. It's wonderful to be here.
Yes. Well, first, let's just begin with your story. What drew you to your connection with nature to begin with? You know, how old were you when you, you know, just had that feeling of the connection to nature and that you wanted to work in this area?
I was extremely young, and probably a lot of us can relate to this as children. Nature is a powerful force, and ultimately, we are nature, and so often as children, we have a natural affinity, you know, whether it's the flowers in the yard or a favorite tree or a stream, and even in the city, you know, children who grow up in urban environments, nature is always present. So for me, it was, you know, just feeling a very special connection with trees. I grew up in a small town in southeastern New Hampshire, and streams and just everything that was alive, and birds. And I tell a story in the book about, you know, having such empathy for a bird who may have fallen from the nest and died. And, you know, then I did ceremonies for them when I was very young. And solicited the community, other children in the neighborhood, and just a profound feeling for nature and something I can't explain. My dad also has a very close relationship with nature and trees, so who knows what's communicated either in demonstrative ways or other ways, but nature has always been a very alive presence for me.
Yes, it reminds me, I was just walking in our neighborhood and I was seeing these big trees. I think they were elms, I'm not sure. And it reminded me of when I was young that I would draw trees. And I drew birds too. I remember doing a project and I found it in the stuff my mom gave me. And I like drawing. And I would like to get back to it. But later, you know, a few years ago, I was drawing birds again. And I just remember, you know, I don't know, it's that birds and trees, there's something about them for me. And, you know, we all have our affinity to what we like. Well, what inspired you to write this book? And it's also, as I said, co-authored with Sandra Ingerman, who's also works in shamanic trainings for people.
Right. Well, it's an interesting story because I went through a medical crisis, and I described that in the book, and I ended up living in the Ho Rainforest in a pretty remote place, about as far in as you can get and still be in a cabin, real on the edge of the wilderness. And the first week I was living in the Ho, I had a dream. And in my dream were Sandra Ingerman and I working very happily on a project together. And I really take my dreams seriously. They've guided so much of my life. So the dream was so pleasant that I contacted Sandra and invited her to do a creative project with me to write a book. That's what I do is write, you know, and she does as well. She's got about 10 books now. And she was very open to that. So then we were, and my whole feeling was, you know, writing about the feminine, and we explored how we could do that and discovered how we lived in such diverse locales. She's in New Mexico in the high desert and mountains, and I was in the Ho Rainforest, which gets up to 14 feet of rain a year. So what a beautiful thing, you know, to really muse deeply into nature and really see what nature wanted to share through that process. So it came through a dream, from a dream. I think it came actually from the Ho, from the land that speaks to us, you know, through our dreams and through our deep feelings and longings. And nature is speaking very loudly now.
Yes, and throughout the book, you connect nature, and, you know, the animals and the plants that you talk about with the feminine. I mean, we talk about Earth being a she and all that, and it's such a feminine journey you take people through in your book, and you have lots of exercises too, and meditations and things people can do, which is a great way to take these teachings that you're bringing. And the other thing I want to talk about before we go to our break is, you know, you have traveled a lot. As I said, you've done a lot of shamanic trainings, and you've worked with many shamans around the world. What has that taught you in this topic of speaking with nature?
Well, so much. You know, I have a natural affinity my whole life since childhood with nature, and after, you know, through the course of working with indigenous people, it's very, very clear that our prime relationship is with nature, and that they regarded, you know, all the shamanic peoples I've worked with very strongly regard nature as alive and sentient, and we can communicate with everything, whether it's the stones, the waters, the winds, the animals, the trees, and there are messages for us from nature and teachings. Partly in nature's qualities is, you know, just how things grow and what shapes they take and how they move. There are so many teachings there for us. It's a real mirror. And also the spirit of nature, of the nature beings, that, again, everything is alive and also a healing force for us, that we really can't live separately from nature as we seem to have evolved at a very modern time now. And I know the shamanic peoples were always, their main role was being a mediator between nature and spirits and people. So nature is primary, and it's alive when you live and work in indigenous cultures. It's a very ordinary part of everyday reality where you wake up and you honor and you speak with the volcanoes if you're in the high Andes, or you go down. I was in Siberia quite a bit, and I roomed with a shaman woman for a couple of weeks while we were traveling, and she would, if we were near a river, she would get up very early in the morning and firstly massage her whole body, and then she would go down to a very, very cold river and walk in and immerse herself up to her neck every morning very early. So just this profound communion with the natural world and understanding that all healing and all wisdom comes from nature, and that's our primary relationship.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, when we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Lynn. I want to hear about, I know she's had some profound experiences with Indigenous people. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Allie Katz. Join Allie and Dr. Pat as Allie introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Allie, visit atozenmeditation.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Thank you. Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Lynn Roberts. She's the author of Speaking with Nature. So, Lynn, we were just talking about experiences with shamans around the world, and you just mentioned Siberia, but I remember in the book you have some experiences of learning how to deal with your own personal feelings of animals being killed or slaughtered or in these shamanic cultures. And if you have a story to tell, to share with people here.
Yeah, Chris. This actually, I think you were probably reading that in the chapter I wrote on bear, black bear. And while I was writing on black bear when I was living in the Hove for this book, it just so happened. Well, first of all, I had some encounters with bears, which was really beautiful and powerful. And also, one of my weekend neighbors had killed a bear. It was bear hunting season. And so I had this experience of having a very direct relationship with the dead body of a freshly killed bear, which I describe some of the details. It's just the power and profound experience, and also heartbreaking for me to see such a beautiful animal dead like that, and also witnessing the skinning of this animal. And my experience was, after working with indigenous people, I experienced some animal sacrifice in Siberia. Now people really cringe when they hear this, because it sounds barbaric, and really I found it just an exquisite experience, especially in Tuva, where the death happens very quickly and compassionately, where a small incision is made over the heart, and then the shaman actually reaches his hand in and squeezes the heart, and death comes very quickly, and the animal is spoken with, and the animal is brought to ceremony. And then every part of the animal is used for something. I mean, it's pretty amazing to watch every little bit of this animal being honored and used, and including, the intestines being flushed out with water by the women, and then being tied off in the ends and filled with blood for blood sausages. Now, obviously, it took a while to get used to witnessing things like that. However, the honoring and the sacred aspect of it was so profound, and then eating of it, was really feeling our this animal gave its life for us, and having such a direct relationship with it just really was magical and important for me. We go in our supermarkets here, and we, those of us who eat meat buy something that's wrapped in plastic that looks red or can or whatever it is, and we know it's meat, but it's really hard at that point to even identify it as part of an animal. And a lot of our animals are treated very, very poorly in this culture, in terms of their, how they live and how they die is just horrible. So, for me, just really feeling, how indigenous cultures have related with the killing of animals. And we kill plants, too. If you're not eating meat, then you're eating plants, and those are alive, too. But to do so in an honoring way, and I've heard stories about other indigenous cultures about dreaming the animal before they go on the hunt and speaking with it and asking, animals who are ready to offer themselves for food and to show up on the hunt. So there's a very conscious, deliberate, and sacred relationship with, what is killed and how it's done, and ceremony around it, and also how it's honored by every part of it being used. You don't leave half the carcass in the forest, which is what happens sometimes in places where the hunt happens. So very, very powerful experience with that.
Yeah, and I imagine, like you said, this is hard to hear. We're so removed from it. Like you said, we go to the supermarket. We're so removed. Like, my parents grew up in farms, and it was part of their daily life, mm-hmm. and it removes us from that sacredness of the relationship, as you say, with animals. And I've read that before about how indigenous people, will call forth, the animal, and it gives us life for us. And it's part of the cycle of life. And also it struck me, like, I didn't realize there was bear hunting season. Here I live in the Northwest, and it's, you know, there's deer hunting and there's, you know, all these others. And is it because there's an excess of bears there's a hunting season for bears?
There can be, I think. And I don't know very much about all of the hunting protocol there. Yeah. There's definitely bear hunting. And, of course, elk, you know, and it's a very present energy, you know, in our forests.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned in the beginning slugs. And, you know, it's fascinating to read about slugs and earthworms. Sandra writes about earthworms. So tell us a little bit about slugs and what they do for the earth, because we just think of them as being nuisance and just eating our plants and they're slimy. You know, I went camping one time. We forgot the tent got left in the driveway and we slept under an open tarp. And I woke up with a big black slug on my hair. You know, which is kind of a yuck feeling. And luckily there was a shower at this campground. But tell us about them and what they do for the earth.
Well, slugs are amazing fertilizers, and they leave their waste on the forest floor, and everything contributes to what grows. There's such richness in the rainforest, it's interesting. I was just out this morning on my walk, and I talked to slugs, and they're really starting to come out now, despite that it's pretty dry here these days. But they're very sentient creatures, you know. It's amazing to start talking to the small creatures as if they are alive and sentient and can respond. And then, you can develop a relationship. They're fertilizers of the forest, and they're sentient beings. It's all, we have ecosystems and everything's a part of it. You know, we have our gardens and our flowers, and the slugs show up. So we see them, you know, as a hindrance. And we see so much of that in the cities and the cultivated areas. For instance, I also write about blackberry, and people tend to hate those too here because they just take over. But blackberry grows where the land has been cut, you know, and wounded. So blackberry comes in and fixes nitrogen in the soil and, protects and brings moisture and makes shelter for animals. And everything has its place. And oftentimes it's when we create situations of, you know, ecological imbalance that we find that nature there are animals and plants that proliferate that we may see as weeds or as harmful to what we're trying to accomplish. But I think nature has a greater sense of balance. And, my feeling is after relating so intimately with slugs and knowing how they fertilize and enrich our soil, that we really need to honor that and find other ways of relating to, you know, what we see as our pests and our gardens, and start speaking with the slugs and maybe see what they have to share with us about. You know,
maybe have a slug garden, like, okay, you can eat this little section here.
Well, I know people train, who have train actually your slugs. Done that.
And I was gonna and blackberries too, and they should, and I have a rockery. Some of these blackberry plants get inside there, and then they're impossible to get out of a rockery. But you had an interesting story about some people you knew who learned how to coexist. Like someone, they wanted to dig up all the blackberries off of a plot of land, and instead of taking them out, they carved a path through them.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. And came to me from a friend of a couple who had, cleared land. And what happens when you clear land here is the blackberries do come in. And again, they have their function. Nature is intelligent, and all creatures have their purpose, part of that intelligence. So before they bulldoze the whole area, what a friend suggested was, just carve this figure eight through the brambles. And they did that. And for a few seasons, some of the blackberries tried to invade the path, but they were snipped back. And then the plants learned, to stay away from that area. But that was a way that the landowners could learn how to coexist with the plant, that the plant had equal rights to be there as well as the people. And, of course, during blackberry season, the people greatly enjoyed the fruit that the plants offered. So this is just a really beautiful way to, you know, find unique ways to coexist with nature and to honor it. You know, we don't treat nature as a living being, and of course we're experiencing a lot of disharmony, physical ailments, depression because of our dissociation with the earth. We're at a real point of imbalance. So these, you know, some of these possibilities and suggestions may sound far out to people, but really when you look at the extreme place we're at ecologically, it's really time to explore some unique ways of relating to nature and getting back in balance.
Yeah. And it's such a healing element. I talk about that with other people of just, you know, one of the things if you're in a, you know, having a bad day is to get out and walk, you know, where you've got, every city has a park somewhere. Just get out in nature and feel that presence of, like the large trees and listening to the birds and all that takes you out of your everyday funk, so to speak. You know, it's like you just realize life is bigger than your problem. And there's so many messages you can get just, you know, being in that beauty of the earth. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Lynn Roberts and about her book, Speaking with Nature. And we'll talk about, water. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to the hit show Marketing Masters with Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will bring you the best of the best thought leaders from around the world to share marketing strategies and best practices. Get fired up to grow your business with the Queen of Marketing. To contact Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Well, I'm back with Lynn Roberts, and we've been talking about her book, Speaking with Nature, Awakening to the Deep Wisdom of the Earth. And we've been hearing about some of that wisdom, various animals and plants. And before we start, Lynn, can you share your website and what you might have available for people? Or maybe you have some trips going on, too, that would be of interest to people?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. My website is LLYN. Roberts.com. And I actually just finished a really wonderful webcast named Shapeshifting with Earth Wisdom with Thinkcast, and that'll be available soon on archives. And have another one coming up May 21st with Evolver, learninglab.com. And then I'll be at the Omega Institute this summer in August doing a very powerful immersion in experiential shape-shifting into higher consciousness programs. And then I'll be at Omega again in October for shamanic Reiki. And Sandra and I, Sandra Ingerman, my co-author, will be at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur in November presenting Speaking with Nature, an experiential program.
Great. And do you have any trips? Because I know you take people to Guatemala and China. Any trips coming up?
I do. Not this year. Nope, not at this point.
Okay.
I've done trips for 20 years, and right now there's a little break on that happening. So we can look for that next year.
Yeah. So you can always find that on your website, LynnRoberts.com. Yes. Well, I want to talk about water. It's something that you bring, kind of weave throughout the book. And it starts off with, you talk about, you know, the glacier, the silt. That's in water, especially where the glacier silt, where you live, and how that impacts you, how that affects our physicality, our bodies, and how you bring, you know, use water in your book for people.
Well, thanks, Chris. That's a really important and, you know, topic, water. Of course, we are 70 to 90% water, depending on where we are in the life cycle, and most of our planet is water. And when you think about it, all the plants are water also. I mean, everything, we really live in a water world. It's such an important topic now, especially because of the quality of our water and the scarcity of our water. And water, of course, also from the work of Masaru Emoto tells us that water is conscious, as all indigenous shamanic people would also tell us. And this is certainly my experience, and I've written about a couple of water elements, glacial silt, which flows in the glacial waters that come. There are 12 glacial rivers that come from the glaciers on the Olympic Mountains. And the Ho being one of them, and the incredible richness of these waters. And when you look at them, they're this luminous turquoise and milkiness to them, and just all the nutrients that the silt brings down. And the silt is actually from the glacial rubbing against the sedimentary layer of the earth, and it creates this fine, fine powder. And you find these large silt beds on the gravel bars in the Ho River Valley. And it's such a fine powder, and some of it is dispersed in the air, and a lot of it comes right through the waters, and not only in the river water that you see, but it's dispersed throughout the whole valley, you know, through the plants and through underground water systems and trees. A lot of people don't realize, but trees are like huge water fountains. They are spouting tons and tons of water. And as a result, you know, trees bring weather and trees make clouds. And so water is such a, especially in the Ho, you know, where it's also raining 14 feet a year, just a powerful, powerful presence. And there's so many teachings about water. I wrote about mist, which, you know, we wrote, Sandra and I both wrote about very, you know, what people might consider unusual nature beings to write about, often popularized, or the, you know, the larger beings, the birds and the, you know, big cat animals, and all of the nature beings are powerful. But we really felt drawn to give voice to the more subtle aspects of nature because we've, you know, all but forgotten them and we discount them. And that's part of the feminine aspect of this book, is that the very little things and the very subtle aspects of our reality really are calling to us, really deserve our attention. And so, and again, the qualities of nature are teachers for us. So with silt, there's an amazing richness, and there's an offering out. The silt nourishes and nurtures all the land and feeds everything, you know, with its richness. And it also represents a very subtle power that we also have within us. So when we look to these flowing waters and we're aware of the silt, which we can't see the specks, then we just see the color and the milkiness, we can really feel our own deep, silent power, you know, like silt is almost hidden. Well, we have our own hidden power as well. And of course, Sunder and I give practices for people to experientially tap into that, their own power and their own wisdom as the earth is mirroring. So water is a really predominant force and really important for us to connect with. And, of course, our lunar cycles impact our tides and our waters. And as we are water, especially sensitive people, will really feel those cycles. And all ancient cultures honored the passages, you know, the cycles of the moon, and also acknowledge that whatever the earth is experiencing, we're experiencing. We're having a lot of volcanoes now, volcanic eruptions, we're having seismic activity. And of course, in the Northwest, that's you know, really charged here. It's a very powerful dynamic area. And there are solar flares. So at this time when the Earth seems to be moving through some dramatic shifts, we're being impacted. And the more we develop a relationship with nature and the natural forces, the more we can find our way with ease through these changing times and understand how we can co-create with the earth to live in different ways that are more honoring and in balance with the earth and each other.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm struck by, you just mentioned this briefly, but the little things. And there's something in your book you talk about, you know, focusing on the little things, you know, the little beings, the little slugs or earthworms, and the importance of how that brings us, like it I feel like it could bring focus to our lives, because when you focus on the small things in our life, I don't know, it just, I'd love you to speak about it. For me, it just sort of illuminates things that even that every little thing is important. And sometimes we get lost in these big drama stories, you know, and if we can focus on some of these small, there's so many lessons in little things.
Yes, that's very true. And it also brings us back to our senses, literally back to our embodiment. We are earth bodies. We're made of the elements, earth, air, water, and fire. And we're inhabitants. We're the same as all the nature beings. We're part of the earth. And, you know, part of our deep human sanity and compassion comes from being fully embodied and open-hearted human beings. And there's no better way than being in nature and paying attention to the very minute and subtle aspects and engaging our senses with those that makes us feel alive and heals us. You mentioned the healing aspects of nature. Well, nature will, of course, heal your heart and your soul. And it also, you know, there's so much scientific proof out now that being in a grove of trees, there are actually airborne forces that have a healing impact on us. And if we go barefoot on the earth, we're absorbing energy from the earth, and we're also discharging all this electrical charge we pick up from computers and phones and the way we live in this, you know, modern day age. So, yeah, very, very powerful, the little things, and keeps our focus on what's important in life. That's what I find.
Well, that's interesting. You talk about, like, go stand in the middle of a grove of trees and how they're sending you healing energy and discharging you, yeah, we live in this electronic world and, you know, tight, you know, so much electricity and computers running through our homes that actually releases some of that energy. That's fascinating. I know I've heard too, a lot of people talk about being barefoot on the earth. And I feel like sometimes we've lost touch with the earth that way. Mm-hmm. And when I traveled around the world and especially in Asia, I just felt like I was more grounded in the earth and touching the earth versus feeling like here in America, we walk on cement too much.
Well, the important thing to remember is even if we're in a city that we can engage our senses with the earth, and it's profoundly healing and profoundly important right now. It also shifts our consciousness because once we understand with our bodies and our touch, you know, we can go up to a tree and touch it, close your eyes because our eyes are so connected with our minds, which are so busy most of the time. Sometimes when you close your eyes and just feel the tree or feel the earth, it's just this amazing experience. Really makes us come alive and awake and heals us. And even if you have just a little plot of earth in the city or a little backyard, you can go out there barefoot and there are still trees and there are birds. There are even birds living in department stores, you know, in cities and airports.
Yes, you see them, yes. Okay, well, we're going to take another break and we'll come back and talk more with Lynn Roberts.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start winning the game of life with the unique, incomparable Lynn Brown. Lynn takes everyday aspects of life and infuses them with the magic of soul and passion to help others. She wants to help you next. Lynn offers a myriad of spiritual healing, from chakra clearing, aura healing, to even corporate and business readings. Bring your game face and visit letter R, letter U, Intuit.com or call 844-B-INTUIT.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis and talking with Lynn Roberts. And we were just talking about the importance of water and being in nature. And now we're going to talk about doing ritual in nature and particularly corn. So Lynn, I'm going to hand it over to you. Talk about corn.
Well, corn is a plant. I have a special relationship to the corn plant. And part of that came about because I was with John Perkins, whom I worked with for many years and led groups to indigenous cultures. We were visiting with some Hopi elders, and we were gifted with an ear of corn, blue corn, which we took home, and it was a very beautiful thing. And corn is sacred with most indigenous groups. And I had a dream about a corn plant, and the corn plant told me to take it to my workshops. So, and very soon after, when I was at workshops, I was gifted with a bag of cornmeal, and I was gifted with a little, you know, beautiful handmade ear of corn, you know, a facsimile. And so the corn plant became very alive for me, and I started making offerings to the altar that would create in workshops, and also walking with the corn plant, a pouch of cornmeal, and offering it to the land. And for me, corn is an incredible teacher of offering out what we give. You know, we've talked a lot about what nature does for us, and nature is beautiful, and it restores our spirit, and it can restore our health as well. But what are we giving to nature? And primary, of course, is how we preserve nature and how we support it in growing and staying strong. And obviously, we haven't done such a great job in this culture with that. And I know a lot of us are in very strong efforts to reverse that. And also spiritually, what we give to nature, you know, and when we talk about connecting with nature, Sandra and I always mention that, you know, you can give out to nature before you have a conversation, appreciate her, her beauty, speak with her, make offerings such as it can be cornmeal, or it can be, you know, it's different in different cultures. When I was traveling through Siberia, we would actually make offerings of bread to the spirits in the land, and salami and vodka. And milk, it's different in different cultures. And with the Quechua people, it was often flower petals and coins and other things. So it's very important for us to remember, and again, for me, the corn plant was really a teacher about how do we give out? How do we give out to nature? And how do we give out to the world? You know, we're in a culture that we're thinking constantly about what do I need? What does my family need? What do I want? What can I get? What can I have? And really, richness comes from understanding what our unique positioning is on this planet. What are our gifts? What are our skills? What are our passions? And how can we give of ourselves in these ways to our communities, to the earth, to really make this a better place to be? And And through that comes richness. Richness comes back to us. Abundance comes back to us. And it may not be, you know, exactly what we're thinking about, what we want to be abundant, but it will be what we need. And it'll be a real richness of spirit, which makes our lives so full and you know, magical.
Yeah, so true. And so using corn, do you suggest people, like you just mentioned carrying a pouch of cornmeal. And mm-hmm. and how would you suggest people to make a ritual out of that?
Well, you can do very simple rituals. You know, you can go for a walk in a park or in a forest or, you know, whatever access to nature you have. People live in different locales. And very mindfully walk and open your heart and your senses and look around and really take in the beauty and see where you're drawn. And, you know, this as children, we weren't so scheduled and we didn't have a plan. Well, I'm going here and I'm going there and it's always A to B and B to C. You know, you do a lot of wandering and that's a beautiful thing to do in nature and see where your heart calls you. And really, I think what's happening is that there are nature beings that are calling to us. So it may be that you find yourself at a beautiful tree. Maybe the tree has called you there. And so spend some time with that tree, and you can ask permission to be there. And you can kneel down. And in Siberia, what they offer for us is to, you know, even actually get down on our hands and knees and put our foreheads to the earth. And just stay there for as long as we feel is right, communing with the earth and smell the smells of the earth. And then when you're complete with that, you can make an offering. It could be of cornmeal or bread, pieces of bread, and then have a conversation with this tree being or simply rest your back against this tree being and really open your heart to its presence. And sometimes words come, sometimes images, and sometimes it's just a sentiment, or you could feel a gentle waft of air against your cheek, or a leaf may fall. You know, there's communication from nature all the time, and we shouldn't always be looking for the big kind of logical, verbal information that we're used to, attaching to. Communication can be very, very subtle. And just a felt sense even. And this is how intuition works. And this is another feminine, wisdom way, is really opening to our body wisdom and our heart wisdom, which includes our intuition. And there's work being done by the Heart Math Institute about that the heart is its own brain. And there's a palpable field of energy that the heart radiates. And this is how when we open our heart to nature, we have this communication, this path of communication. The Quechua people I worked with in the high Andes for many years also had some beautiful rituals, which I describe at the end of this chapter that I wrote on corn. Sandra also wrote on corn about creating a circle you can with cornmeal and putting a glass of water and a candle in the center of the circle and then sitting in that circle and meditating in that space. And you can do that at sunrise or sunset, and also be making prayer in that space for the troubled parts of the world. And so there's a couple of those rituals also included in the book that are quite beautiful from Indigenous people.
Yes, and that's wonderful. And in every chapter, there's some practices that you and Sandra suggest for people. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Lynn.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Chris.
Yeah, and you do have, you know, you bring a lot of wisdom and all the work that you've done. And so I encourage people to check out the book, Speaking with Nature, Awakening to the Deep Wisdom of the Earth by Sandra Ingerman and Lynn Roberts. And check out Lynn's website, LynnYNRoberts.com. And you can see all the things that she has to offer. Like she said, she has some webinars and things like that. So this is Chris Stainis, and I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Conference and the Foundation. And we have a wonderful day coming up. It's a fundraiser for a Woman of Wisdom, and it's a pampering day for women in Seattle on May 30th. It's a great time to come have some self-care, self-compassion, rejuvenation, and be in an ambiance of a kind of like a healing temple. And there'll be various people of different healing modalities that you'll be able to experience. And so also, if you have a talent, a gift to share, it's a time to come. It's a giving day to bring those gifts to our community, to other women, and be a part of that of that community during that day. It's a wonderful experience to be. So I would invite you to check that out on our website, womanofwisdom.org. Just look under programs, click down to Sacred Pampering under our program tab on our website, womanofwisdom.org. And be sure to check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman. It's a great inspirational book on the sacred feminine as well, from many voices that women who have been at the conference, who've presented, who've attended, their stories, their art, their poetry. And when you buy it on our website, it benefits Woman of Wisdom. So again, you can see that at womanofwisdom.org. And check out my website, chrysalisleadership.com. About unleashing the powerful leader within. So, everybody, I'm so glad you joined me today, and I hope you have a fabulous spring weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.